Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, March 14th, 2019. Coming up this hour,
the U.S. grounds Boeing's MAX jets.
Any plane currently in the air will go to its destination and thereafter be grounded.
The U.K. prepares a vote to delay Brexit.
The lunatics do certainly appear to have taken over the asylum. The U.K. does not appear to have a functioning government.
And Gary Cohn weighs in on U.S.-China trade talks.
Dozens of parents in the college admission scandal may see steep tax fines. Plus, it's vote day in the Senate on the president's border national emergency. I'm Mike LaBar. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Big East tournament underway at the Garden. A win for St. John's. They'll play again tonight. The Nets and Rangers lost. A win for the Devils.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
U.S. futures and European shares are gaining after a mixed session in Asia. 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 5 points this morning. Dow futures up 39. NASDAQ futures up 19. The DAX in Germany is up 0.4%. So is the FTSE 100. And the CAC in Paris up 0.8%. The 10-year Treasury down 3/32, yield 2.63%. Yield on the 2-year 2.46%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.5% or 31 cents to $58.57 a barrel. And COMEX gold down 0.6% or $7.90 to $13.0140 an ounce. And this data check brought to you by SEI. Asset managers can exceed new thresholds for data management reporting and responsiveness. Transform your business with SEI's global operating platform at SEIC.com/IMS. Nathan.
Karen, let's begin with President Trump and the Federal Aviation Administration grounding Boeing's 737 MAX jets.
Any plane currently in the air will go to its destination and thereafter be grounded until further notice.
We have team coverage on this latest development, beginning with Bloomberg's John Tucker, who joins us live. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Nate. U.S. regulators reversed course and grounded Boeing's 737 MAX planes after evidence that Sunday's flight may have experienced the same problem as a Lion Air crash 5 months ago. Satellite flight tracking data, combined with newly discovered evidence, raised suspicions about a safety feature in the MAX. The reversal from the FAA was sudden after insisting for days that the plane was airworthy. I'm John Tucker for Bloomberg Daybreak. Now here's Bob Moon with more on the story.
The air traffic website, liveatc.com, captured the tower at Washington's Reagan National Airport telling a Southwest Airlines 737 MAX already on the runway to turn around.
I got a call from your company. You need to contact them.
Acting FAA Administrator Daniel Elwell, who's been President Trump's temporary appointee for more than a year, announced the black boxes from the crashed Ethiopian Airlines plane were being sent to France. Former National Transportation Safety Board Chairman Jim Hall told Bloomberg he found that news significant.
To send that to France rather than the NTSB, I think speaks for itself in regard to their confidence in how this matter's been handled.
Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Bob, thank you. U.S. airlines are moving swiftly to shift passengers from MAX jets to other flights. We continue our team coverage now with this report from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellet.
Across the country, the inconvenience for travelers should be muted because the MAX makes up only 2.9% of the mainline fleets for three U.S. carriers, American, Southwest, and United. One place that will see more disruption, though, Miami, where American has concentrated its initial MAX deliveries for service to the Caribbean and to New York's LaGuardia Airport. Charlie Pellet, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Charlie. And now Boeing has $600 billion in 737 MAX jet orders at risk, with big customers threatening to reconsider their purchases. Vietjet says it'll decide on future plans for its $25 billion order once the cause of the crash has been found. Kenya Airways is reviewing plans that could include switching to Airbus planes. And sources tell Bloomberg Lion Air is moving closer to dropping a $22 billion MAX jet order. Shares of Boeing are down about 0.5% in early trading.
The pound is weaker this morning after climbing yesterday to its strongest level since June. The UK Parliament rejected leaving the EU without a Brexit deal and will vote today on whether to delay its withdrawal. So what comes next? We asked Dartmouth economics professor and former Bank of England MPC member Danny Blanchflower.
The lunatics do certainly appear to have taken over the asylum. The UK does not appear to have a functioning government. And I can't answer your question about what's coming. I have no idea.
Prime Minister Theresa May is still fighting for her Brexit deal with a third attempt to get it through Parliament likely next week.
We have economic data out of China overnight. It shows the country's slowdown deepening. Industrial output is having its worst start to the year since 2009, and retail sales are expanding at the slowest pace since 2012. This could be a bottom, according to Bank of America Merrill Lynch economist Helen Chow.
We probably would hover at the low levels for March, one more month, before we think that the growth is going to stabilize and improve in second quarter.
China's unemployment rate jumped to 5.3% in February. That's the highest level in 2 years.
Trade talks between the U.S. and China continue, and now President Trump's former economic advisor is weighing in on negotiations. Gary Cohn, former head of the National Economic Council, addressed the issue in an interview with the Freakonomics podcast.
I think the U.S. is desperate right now for an agreement. The president needs a win. The only big open issue right now that he could claim as a big win that he hoped would have a big impact on the stock market would be a Chinese resolution.
The remarks from Cohn stand in contrast to statements from President Trump, who says he is in no rush to reach an agreement.
Shares of Facebook are down nearly 2% in early trading. The social network is grappling with one of its most widespread and persistent system outages. Users around the world were unable to access parts of Facebook and Instagram for much of yesterday. That has the company considering refunds for advertisers.
And a programming note, tune in today for an interview with J.P. Morgan Chase CEO Jamie Dimon. He sits down for a conversation with Bloomberg's Francine Lacroix in Paris. Catch it live on Bloomberg Radio and Television at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. S&P futures are higher this morning. They're up about 5 points. Dow futures up 42. NASDAQ futures up about 19. The 10-year Treasury down 4/32. Yield 2.63%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.47%. And the euro at $1.1324. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, thank you, Karen. It's 5:07 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr is here to tell us more of what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. The University of Southern California says it will bar from admission about a half dozen student applicants connected to a firm indicted in a sweeping college admission scandal. Meanwhile, parents in the scandal may see steep tax fines. Prosecutors say a Newport Beach, California-based nonprofit, which the IRS declared tax-exempt, fronted as a vehicle for the bribes. A top Senate Democrat is looking to end tax breaks for college donations that parents make to universities in an attempt to get their children admitted. Ron Wyden of Oregon, the ranking minority member of the Senate Finance Committee, says he plans to introduce a bill that would prohibit donors to colleges to take a tax deduction for those charitable contributions before or during the time a family member is enrolled. The Republican-led Senate is set to deal President Trump a stinging rebuke on his national emergency at the Mexican border. Republicans expect today's vote to result in Congress sending the president a resolution blocking the border emergency he proclaimed last month to steer billions to building border barriers. At the White House, President Trump lashed out at Democrats for pushing the resolution through Congress.
The Democrats are for open borders. They're for crime. I mean, frankly, they're for crime.
President Trump is expected to veto the measure if it passes. Yesterday, the Senate voted to withdraw support for the Saudi-led conflict in Yemen. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
Some Republicans joining Democrats in a rebuke of the president over his response to the killing of journalist Jamal Khashoggi. The resolution would direct the president to remove U.S. armed forces from hostilities within 30 days unless authorized by Congress. The House adopted a slightly different version in February. It's expected to take up the Senate version in the next few weeks. The president has threatened a veto. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Beto O'Rourke plans to make a formal announcement today that he is running for the Democratic nomination for president. The former Texas congressman narrowly lost a Senate contest to Republican incumbent Ted Cruz last fall. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, the 37th year in a row where the Big East tournament has been held at the Garden, St. John's part of everyone. Red Storm last night beat DePaul 82-74, so a win over a team they lost to twice in the regular season. Tonight they face a team they defeated twice. Marquette recently was ranked in the top 10 in the country, but they come in tonight losers of four straight. Rutgers' best season since joining the Big Ten, but in Chicago, a 68-61 loss to Nebraska. Scarlet Knights 17-15 could make the NIT. Another rough year for Fordham. Two-point loss to Richmond at the Atlantic 10 tourney that's underway in Brooklyn. The Rams finished 10-20. ACC tourney in Charlotte. Syracuse played without top scorer Tyus Battle. Still overcame Pitt 73-59. It'll be much tougher for the Orange tonight against Duke, who's expected to get star Zion Williamson back from injury. The Nets at Oklahoma City, start of a seven-game road trip. They blew a 17-point lead. Lost to the Thunder 108-96. Too much Russell Westbrook, 31 points and a triple-double. Spencer Dinwiddie led Brooklyn with 25. The Warriors off the upset, lost to Phoenix. Went to Houston, ended the Rockets' nine-game winning streak, 106-104. Rangers lost in Vancouver 4-1. Devils a 6-3 win at Edmonton. Kyler Murray had his pro day at Oklahoma. Here was the Heisman Trophy winner at the Combine, asked about playing for the Giants.
Like you said, OB, Shep, Evans, Saquon, I think, you know, me in that system or with those guys can be very dangerous. And, you know, at the same time, I don't get to choose where I go. So, you know, if that was the case, I would love to be in that situation. Love to be in New York. But at the end of the day, like I said, I don't pick myself.
Now, that was before he knew that Odell Beckham would not be in New York. The Giants have the sixth pick. They might have to move up in the draft to be able to get Murray. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, in other sports news, nearly $2 billion has been wagered on sporting events in New Jersey in the 9 months since betting became legal last year. New Jersey gamblers plunked down more than $320 million on sports in February, led by Super Bowl wagering. Officials predict the college basketball championship tournament this month will surpass the Super Bowl in terms of volume. Online and mobile sports betting revenue accounted for four times the amount of money wagers in person at casinos and racetracks in New Jersey. This is Daybreak. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by BNB Bank. From Montauk to Manhattan, partnering with business in their financial success. With local decision-making, custom solutions, and attention to detail, BNB Bank, many success stories. One bank, bnbbank.com.
Global News, 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. stock index futures are rising this morning. The pound is edging lower, trimming some gains from a day earlier as the Brexit saga rambles on. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are up 4.5 points, Dow futures up 44, NASDAQ futures up 18. The DAX in Germany is up 0.5%. 10-year Treasury down 3/32, yield 2.63%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.46%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.6% or 32 cents to $58.58 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.7% or $8.50 to $1,300.90 an ounce. The euro is at $1.1321 and the yen 111.69. Today we're watching for the import price index at 8:30 Wall Street time, along with a weekly report on initial jobless claims. The Bloomberg Consumer Confidence Index is out at 9:45 and its new home sales at 10. Oracle and Broadcom among companies scheduled to report earnings today. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Prosecutors and tax documents say the mastermind of a wide-ranging college admission scandal set up a charity that funneled money from wealthy parents to bribe coaches and others to get their children into elite universities. Prosecutors say the scheme allowed the parents to claim tax deductions for themselves. The Republican-controlled Senate passed a measure rejecting U.S. military support for the Saudi-led military campaign in Yemen. Today, senators are poised to reject President Trump's declaration of an emergency on the southern border. The president says he plans to veto both. In the NBA, the Nets lost. The Warriors and Wizards were winners. In the NHL, the Devils won. The Rangers lost. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. It's 5:19 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. Kit Jukes is our guest this morning. He's a global fixed income strategist at Societe Generale. Kit, shall we talk about Brexit? No deal's off the table. May's deal is off the table. So can investors count on a Brexit delay now?
The bookmakers are offering odds that say it's about 6-1 in favor of that. So I guess that's 80-something percent that they think are the odds of a delay happening. Short delay, long delay. The EU has come back and said you don't get a delay unless there's a reason for a delay. So the saga isn't finished. The Prime Minister is hoping that the fear that what may end up is no Brexit will get the exit of the Brexiteer crowd in her party to vote for her deal when she brings it around yet again next week. The only thing I can tell you for sure is there are more twists and turns in this saga to come. I think we'll get a delay. We'll get a delay, but we'll probably have to come up with something. The thing that would please the Europeans most would be a delay because we're having a second referendum.
What would please investors the most in terms of the length of the delay? Because doesn't a longer delay lead to even more uncertainty for the pound?
Yeah, except that a longer delay means a greater possibility that what we end up with is staying closer to Europe. I mean, from a purely selfish European perspective, the UK self-harming its own economy as a big trading partner is just bad for the European economy. And that they'll hopefully vote against, that they'll want to avoid that. From the currency market's perspective, I think that's everything. So at the moment, the market thinks a second referendum is unlikely. If you thought that a long delay might make another referendum more likely because you would coalesce the opposition to a bad deal and no deal, around that, then I think that would be sterling positive. I think if we get a decent deal, sterling is going to end up closer to 140, in 6, 9, 12 months' time. But in the meantime, what you're right about is the economic data are just steadily getting worse.
Yeah, and I want to ask you, though, whether investors should keep the possibility of a second referendum in mind, given all the twists and turns we've seen.
Yeah, I mean, I've been asked about it already this morning, so it's clearly something that's happening. It's still unlikely because the major players don't want it to happen, but I would have thought that if this was a horse race, this is an outsider that I might be putting a little bit of my money on this morning.
And how do you put that in terms of putting money in?
In terms of putting money in, if you can cope with the volatility, another referendum is good for sterling. No questions asked. I think because there is an assumption, and it's not necessarily a correct assumption, but there is an assumption that it's more likely to pass that this time around, that the economic self-harm is clear enough that some people will vote to stay in the EU. We stay in the EU, sterling is a long, 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 long way lower than it was when we started this process.
What does all this mean for the euro? There hasn't been a whole lot of attention paid to that, I think, with all this uncertainty in the Brexit back and forth. Is this weighing on the euro now?
Yeah, it's been a factor of the euro along. The correlation, if you put up a chart on your Bloomberg terminal, if you had one, of the pound against the dollar and the euro against the dollar, they are still extremely closely correlated. So bad for the pound because of Brexit is bad for the euro. So one of the reasons euro-dollar is down at 113 against the US dollar is because of Brexit and what the damage that does to one of Europe's biggest export markets. One of the reasons it's not fallen further in the last week or so, mind you, is because of this optimism on sterling. So we take sterling higher by, say, take for sake of argument, a second referendum becomes a really serious probability. Yeah, it's good for the pound if that happens. It's good for the euro as well. It's one of the few things that could be good for the euro.
In our last minute here, with all these concerns about global growth slowing, now there's more than $9 trillion in negative yield bonds around the world. How do you adjust to global growth concerns?
You adjust to them by hiding under rocks with most of the things. I mean, money has flowed. The dollar is now a very expensive currency because it's one of the places with high yield. We used to think of the dollar as one of the funding currencies for carry trades, investing in places with higher rates. All the other way around now, one of the reasons the U.S. dollar has strengthened so much is, best major economy, but more particularly significantly positive real rates and yields, and that's a headache for the U.S. in its own sense, unless you happen to be a tourist. But that's got people long dollars. It will in global, but it's going to make us nervous about investing in high beta markets. Emerging markets don't like a global slowdown, even if their currencies are cheap and their yields look attractive. So it's not an easy environment.
Kit Jukes, global fixed income strategist, Societe Generale. Always good to get your insights on Bloomberg Daybreak. Daybreak is brought to you by the New York Community Trust, a public charity working with generous New Yorkers to make an impact on the issues they care about. To set up your fund through the New York Community Trust, visit nycommunitytrust.org.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures and European equities are gaining following a mixed session in Asia. Data overnight showed China's economic slowdown deepened in the first 2 months of the year. Tom McKenzie reports from Beijing.
China's industrial output slowed the most in a decade in January and February. Retail sales were flat despite cuts to personal income taxes, and unemployment jumped to its highest level in 2 years. China's policymakers are betting on fiscal stimulus and ramped up support for the private sector to stabilize the slowdown. In Beijing, Tom McKenzie, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Tom. We have more fallout this morning from the Boeing 737 MAX crash in Ethiopia. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the latest. John.
And good morning, Nate. The U.S. Federal Aviation Administration has grounded the planes. The move comes after a satellite data and other new evidence from Sunday's crash raised suspicions about a safety feature on the MAX implicated in last year's Lion Air crash. In a rebuke to U.S. authorities, the flight data and voice recorders were sent to France. And some Boeing customers are threatening to reconsider $600 billion in 737 MAX jet orders. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. We're also following the latest developments on Brexit as a delay seems inevitable. We get more from Bloomberg's Alex Morales in London.
UK members of Parliament are set to vote to delay Brexit a day after rejecting a departure from the European Union without an agreement. Afterwards, May warned lawmakers that unless they approve her Brexit deal in the next week, they would face a lengthy delay to Brexit, which would necessitate participating in fresh European Parliament elections in May. In London, Alex Morales, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Alex, thank you. Back here in the U.S., we have another loss for Johnson & Johnson over its iconic baby powder. A jury in California says J&J will have to pay about $29 million to a dying woman who blamed asbestos-tainted talc for causing her cancer. It's J&J's seventh loss.
Shares of Facebook down more than 1.5% in early trading. Users around the world were unable to access parts of Facebook and Instagram for much of yesterday, and that is the company considering refunds for advertisers. Futures this morning are moving higher. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 3 points. Dow futures up 33. NASDAQ futures up 13. The DAX in Germany is up 0.4%. 10-year Treasury down 3/32, yield 2.63%. The yield on the 2-year is 2.46%. And NYMEX crude oil is up 0.5% or 29 cents to $58.54 a barrel. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
Karen, thank you. It is 5:33 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr has more of what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Dozens of parents may now face steep tax penalties after they allegedly paid bribes disguised as donations in order to get their children into elite colleges. Prosecutors say that some wealthy parents in the scheme, which authorities unveiled March 12th, were able to claim tax deductions for purported donations that were funneled through a Newport Beach, California-based nonprofit. According to court documents, Key Worldwide Foundation, which the IRS declared tax-exempt, fronted as a vehicle for the bribes. Just minutes after his federal prison sentence was raised to 7.5 years, Paul Manafort was charged by New York State prosecutors with residential mortgage fraud, conspiracy, and falsifying business records. President Trump has no pardon powers over state crimes. Meanwhile, the president at the White House was asked about his former campaign chairman's new sentence.
I feel very badly for Paul Manafort. And, you know, he worked for Ronald Reagan very successfully. He worked for John McCain. He worked for Bob Dole and many others for many years. And I feel badly for him. I think it's a very sad situation.
The Senate will likely vote today in favor of blocking President Donald Trump's emergency declaration for the southern border. Republican senators had hoped a bill limiting a president's power to declare emergencies in the future would gain more GOP votes against the measure blocking Trump's order. The top Republican on the House Judiciary Committee, Doug Collins, says former Acting Attorney General Matthew Whitaker never spoke with President Trump about the president's former lawyer, Michael Cohen. But the Democratic chairman of the committee, Jerry Nadler, says Whitaker answered questions differently when he was behind closed doors yesterday.
Unlike in the hearing room, Mr. Whitaker did not deny that the president called him to discuss Michael Cohen, the Michael Cohen case, and personnel decisions in the Southern District.
Whitaker headed the Justice Department from November until February. Former Texas Congressman Beto O'Rourke told an El Paso TV station he's in the race for the Democratic presidential nomination. The El Paso native wasn't nationally known until his near upset of Republican Senator Ted Cruz in last year's midterm elections. O'Rourke will make an official announcement this morning. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thanks. It's 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with John Stashower.
Nathan, it's championship week. Chance for teams on the bubble as far as making the NCAA tournament to prove to the committee they are worthy. St. John's expected to make the tourney, but a win tonight over Marquette will certainly help their case. The Red Storm advanced by beating DePaul last night at the Garden, 82-74 at the Big East tourney. Providence blew out Butler. The Barclays Center hosting the Atlantic 10 tournament, a heartbreaking loss for Fordham. Richmond won on a hoop with less than a second to go. GW beat UMass in overtime. Big Ten tourney, the season ended for Rutgers. Lost to Nebraska, 68-61. Syracuse beat Pitt at the ACC tourney, 73-59. The Orange were led by Coach Jim Boeheim's son, Buddy. He scored 20 points. Brutal road trip underway for the Nets. Seven games, all but two against teams headed for the playoffs at Oklahoma City. The Nets blew a 17-point lead. Kenny Atkinson's team beaten by the Thunder, 108-96.
We didn't do a great job handling their physicality. I think that's, you know, in a short phrase, that's it. You know, we give up 38 points in the third quarter, but it's still a two-point game going into the fourth quarter. So we hung around. Listen, I think against a team like this, you got to be close to perfect to beat them on the road here, and we weren't at that level.
Russell Westbrook, 31 points, his 25th triple-double. The Warriors served notice, still the team to beat, played without Kevin Durant, still won at Houston. 106-104 ends the Rockets' nine-game win streak. Rangers and Devils, both in Western Canada. Blue Shirts lost in Vancouver 4-1. Devils won 6-3 at Edmonton. Noah Syndergaard sharp for the Mets. 2-1 win over the Marlins. Robinson Cano homered. Giancarlo Stanton hit a homer in Tampa. Yankees faced Bryce Harper and the Phillies. The game ended in a 5-5 tie. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. It is 5:37 on Wall Street. The latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now with the cover on AT&T dragging HBO's streaming strategy out of the dark ages. Also in this week's issue, why Apollo Global Management wants to be the next GE Capital. Sonali Basak wrote the story for Bloomberg Business Week.
They have multiple insurance companies. They have a stake indirectly in a mortgage lender. They have mortgage REITs. They have commercial real estate lending. They actually lend to deals for other buyout firms that are much smaller. So they have this huge conglomerate here that kind of operates in lending markets that are unregulated.
Read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now and listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio. 5:38 on Wall Street, time for the Tri-State Business Report brought to you by Virgin Atlantic. Over 300 hours of onboard entertainment, flatbeds for napping and afternoon tea. Daily nonstop flights to the U.K. in partnership with Delta Airlines. Now here's Bloomberg's Ed Khoury. Good morning, Ed.
Morning, Nathan. The year's off to a good start for Manhattan landlords. They've been able to increase rents, offer fewer incentives, and retain tenants. In February, the median rent with concessions factored in rose 4.1% from a year earlier to about $3,300, according to appraiser Miller Samuel in Brokerage Douglas Elliman Real Estate. Hudson Yards, the development on the edge of the Hudson River, will stretch the resources of existing firehouses in New York. That's according to the Uniformed Firefighters Association. It's calling for the city to build a new firehouse to cover the area. HBO is shutting down a communications center in Hopog, New York, a move expected to impact dozens of jobs on the network's broadcast tech team, including an unspecified number of layoffs. Some of the nearly 200 employees will transfer to new facilities in Manhattan. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Nathan?
Thank you, Ed. 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Steve Podolsky, and on KNX in Los Angeles, we're talking about Elon Musk unveiling the new Model Y crossover vehicle at a Tesla event in L.A.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KTRH in Houston. Walmart plans to introduce an inexpensive, kid-friendly tablet computer.
I'm Marcus Carlson on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on a closely watched index of U.K. property prices dropping to a seven-year low.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and on WBBM in Chicago, we're focused on Boeing. Now that the U.S. has joined other nations in grounding the embattled 737 MAX.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting 7 out of 10 Americans don't want to go anywhere near a self-driving car.
Those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Speaking of self-driving cars, Uber's in advanced talks to sell a $1 billion stake in its self-driving unit. Bloomberg has learned a group of investors led by SoftBank would be the buyer. The deal would value that Uber business at $5 to $10 billion. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Brought to you by Marks Paneth LLP. Marks Paneth Tax Advisors have helped family businesses reach their financial goals for over 100 years. At Marks Paneth, success is personal. Learn more at markspaneth.com/tax.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are on the rise along with European shares as investors digest the latest clues on growth from the world's largest economies. The pound is falling, trimming gains from a day earlier as the Brexit saga rumbles on. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 4 points, Dow futures up 40, Nasdaq futures up 16. The DAX in Germany is up 0.5%. 10-year Treasury down 3/32nds, yield 2.63%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.46%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.4% or 22 cents to $58.48 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.9% or $12 to $12.97.50 an ounce. The euro, $1.13.14, the yen, 111.71. And today we are watching for the import price index at 8:30 Wall Street time, along with a weekly report on initial jobless claims, the Bloomberg Consumer Comfort Index at 9:45, and new home sales at 10. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, today the Republican-led Senate is poised to reject the president's declaration of an emergency on the southern border. Yesterday, the Senate passed a measure rejecting U.S. military support for the Saudi-led military campaign in Yemen. Dozens of parents may now face steep tax penalties after they allegedly paid bribes disguised as donations in order to get their children into elite colleges. An intense weather system has struck in the central U.S. The National Guard, with tank-like tread vehicles, rescued stranded drivers in Colorado. In the NBA, the Nets lost. The Warriors and Wizards were winners. In the NHL, the Devils won. The Rangers lost. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it's coming up to 5:49 on Wall Street. Time to check in with Bloomberg Opinion, our platform offering informed perspectives on a range of global topics and expert data-driven commentary on breaking news. Bloomberg Opinion editor Jennifer Ryan joins us from our London bureau with Brexit in focus once again this morning, Jen. Therese Raphael says two of Brexit's biggest myths have been slayed at last. She says Parliament's making progress.
I know it's
It's hard to believe, but that's in fact true.
So
on Tuesday, Parliament voted against Prime Minister Theresa May's withdrawal agreement. And then on Wednesday, they voted to take the no deal option off of the table. But, you know, you should really make no mistake. This is, in fact, progress, because really, the House of Commons has begun to finally grasp the realities of leaving the EU. And now what it needs is to drive a solution. So Wednesday's votes killed off two really pernicious fictions. One is this phrase that no deal is better than a bad deal. And this is something that Theresa May has repeated many, many times over the last 2 years. Raphael says that, okay, yes, in some parallel universe, maybe that was true, but Britain simply isn't prepared for a no-deal Brexit. I mean, the tariffs that the government said that it would have to introduce, or the lack of them, really, the plan to abolish them and wave through goods coming across the Irish border, underlines the harm that leaving without an agreement would trigger, and Parliament seems to understand this better than the government.
Okay, so that's the first myth, Raphael says, has been taken off the table. What's the second one?
The idea that Britain can just leave without an agreement but dictate the terms. This is something that was called the Managed No Deal, and it was presented to lawmakers as the Malt House Agreement. And this called for a brief extension to the exit date and then a transition period until December 2021. But Raphael says this proposal relied on a really egregious misreading of World Trade Organization rules, and it was debunked by trade experts, met with derision from the EU side. And so British lawmakers have decisively rejected this fantasy.
So where are we now? It seems like a lot of the thinking is a delayed Brexit is all but inevitable.
Well, this is what May has proposed. She says that she will ask the EU for a short extension of the March 29th exit date if the House approves her deal by March 20th. If not, though, the extension may have to be much longer, and this raises the risk that Brexit gets revoked entirely. Of course, we all sort of know that a delay doesn't solve anything, because Britain will just be left circling around Brexit undecided on where to land. May knows very well that most MPs remain reluctant to sanction a second referendum and are unwilling to risk a general election that might put them out of a job and not deliver a majority for anything.
All right, moving on from Brexit to the Middle East, and Hussein Ibish's piece on a changing Middle East led by Turkey says the U.S. is clueless to this. What's he looking at?
Well, for the last 10 years, the caricature of the reason is that it's divided into the pro and the anti-Iranian camps. It's a Sunni-Shiite sectarian divide. So the key players in the anti-Iran group were pro-American Arab states like Saudi Arabia and the UAE. The war in Syria unified this group with Turkey and its allies starting in 2011. But once rebel-held parts of Aleppo fell to pro-Assad forces in December 2016, that kind of ended the alliance, the united front against Iran, and Turkey again began to focus on containing Kurdish militias in northern Syria. So it no longer views Iran as an adversary, but as a rival or sometimes a partner.
So what's Turkey's broader goal then?
It really hasn't hidden its ambition to revive the dominance that really the Ottoman Empire enjoyed over much of the Islamic world. You know, if Turkey finally turns away from Europe after a century of unsuccessful efforts to integrate with the West and fixes its gaze east, it could become a regional hegemon as ambitious as Iran and perhaps more effective.
And Ibish says the U.S. has been slow to realize what's going on here.
Yeah, he says that there's no sign that key U.S. leaders have figured out how to respond. And now that Turkey is no longer a U.S. partner in the Middle East and has an agenda that clashes with the interests of the U.S. and its Israel and Arab allies, changes in the U.S. attitudes are required. So among this could mean, for example, developing alternatives to the airbase in southern Turkey and cutting back on military cooperation and supplies.
All right, Bloomberg opinion editor Jennifer Ryan joining us from our London bureau. Jen, thanks as always. You can read more of these and other stories from Bloomberg Opinion at Bloomberg.com/opinion. On the Bloomberg terminal, customers can type OPIN Go on the search bar. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. It's 5:53 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Law Report. It's brought to you by American Arbitration Association. International trade or business dispute? Resolve faster with the International Center for Dispute Resolution, the leader in alternative dispute resolution around the world, ICDR.org. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Steve Podisk in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
Dozens of parents may face steep tax penalties after they allegedly paid bribes disguised as donations in order to get their children into elite colleges like Stanford and Yale. The chairman of the House Natural Resources Committee says he is awaiting answers from the Trump administration on its decision to reduce the size of two national monuments in Utah, Bear's Ears and Grand Staircase Escalante. And the maker of Dum Dums Lollipops, Spangler Candy, won a court decision that temporarily bans Tootsie Roll Industries from selling a competitor lollipop in similar packaging.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need on one legal research platform. Guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
All right, Steve, thank you. Now, another legal story we're watching. The parents, university coaches, and college admissions counselor charged in a criminal conspiracy to help applicants win admission to elite schools. For more on this story, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks to former federal prosecutor George Newhouse.
As a former prosecutor, what strikes you as the most outrageous allegations?
Hard to choose amongst the panoply of outrageous things that occurred here. The breach of trust is really probably one that's the most upsetting. The universities involved, which of course are the victims in this case, are truly doing their best to admit the best and the brightest and the most talented based on the merits. And to have something like this going on at the level that it's going on to the extent calls that into question. Also, the other thing that was very disturbing was the fixing of the test scores. Again, these colleges depend upon SATs and ACTs, these test scores, to provide an objective assessment of the students' abilities, and this calls into question whether those scores are reliable. So very unfair, actually, yes.
The architect of this massive scam, Rick Singer, pleaded guilty on Tuesday to racketeering, money laundering, tax evasion, and obstruction of justice. He cooperated and wore a wire. Does that give the prosecutors some evidence that will be hard to refute and may lead to guilty pleas?
Well, there's no question it will lead to almost all guilty pleas. And by the way, not only was he wearing a wire, but you have to understand the chronology of the investigation, which is laid out on publicly available documents on the DOJ website, including a 100-page-plus affidavit filed by the FBI agent. So he was caught on a wiretap, a Title III. And so for months, federal agents went up on a wire, which, by the way, is extraordinarily unusual in white-collar cases. This is a device that's typically deployed against terrorists and organized criminals. My guess is for several months in 2018 until September 2018, the agents were recording conversations between Singer and his various clients.
And that's former federal prosecutor George Newhouse speaking with Bloomberg's June Grasso. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law, weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio, and find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. S&P futures up 5 points this morning. Dow futures up 51. NASDAQ futures are up 18. The DAX in Germany is up 0.4%. And the 10-year Treasury is down 3/32nds. The yield 2.63%. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.